Please, I grant thee. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Judging me now, John.
Betrayal, murder, genocide. Call me provincial.
I am simply seeking to inspire mankind to all that was intended.
By handing Earth over to the son of the devil? Help me here.
You're handed this precious gift, right? Each one of you granted redemption from the Creator. Murderers, rapists, and molesters. All of you. You just have to repent. And God takes you into his bosom. In all the worlds, in all the universe, no other creature can make such a boast, save man. It's not fair. If sweet, sweet God loves you so, then I'll make you worthy of his love. I've been watching you for a long time. It's only in the face of horror that you truly find your nobler self. And you can be so noble. So, I'll bring you pain. I'll bring you horror. So that you may rise above it. So that those of you who survive this reign of hell on earth will be worthy of God's love.
Gabriel, you're insane.
The road to salvation begins tonight. Right now.
Hell on Earth on this episode of Destructo Mundo.
It's on! It's on! There's no sound. Play with the rabbit ears.
It reports incredible as they seem are not the results of mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. Now they think we're imagining all this.
Destruct the
Mundo. Witnesses to the affected people who acted as though they were in a kind of trance were killing and eating their victims, prompted authorities to examine the bodies of some of the victims. Medical authorities in Cumberland have concluded that in all cases, the killers are eating flesh. The people they murdered. Repeating this, they is probably well received on the
having a really bad job and have to go to it every day for the rest of your life.
I'm sure there's plenty of people who feel it's already here, but obviously, as bad as things may seem, obviously it could be much worse.
It could be like Doom or Doom 3.
Oh, it could indeed.
You skipped right over Doom 2.
Yeah, he skipped over Doom 2. Extra levels of Doom. You totally had to have like a hopping 486 to run Doom 2.
Electric Boogaloo?
Everything, too. It's Electric Boogaloo, indeed.
As it should be.
But yeah, Doom's quite the
That was actually Hell on Mars.
It's Hell on Mars, right. Yeah. way to go off topic there.
It's a whole nother planet.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother Destructo Mundo.
Yeah. But, Well, that's the whole dimensional gate, like, opening, unleashing Hell kind of thing.
That's like a really incredibly common theme.
It is.
Movies and books and...
Especially like with the ones in space. Did you see Event Horizon?
No.
That's a...
I saw part of it, actually.
Actually creepy movie with
Well, I was going to say, like, there's that concept of, like, what, you know, something extra-dimensional, it's so alien and so beyond our sort of, you know, basic level of comprehension and what we think of in terms of the world and reality, that it's perceived as supernatural. And right. I guess there's that, you know, people, there's that concept of, like, if, you know, earlier... In earlier times, when people were even less scientifically based in their understanding of things than we are now, then obviously
the primitives,
yeah, the Christians, you know, people that you know, well, yeah, so they're only under, since they have no way to, you know, if they had encounters with something like that, obviously, you know, their only way to interpret it is you know, is automatically to sort of assume that it's supernatural. So
right.
I guess there's that concept of, like, the whole, you know, that hell and the imagery of hell and all that, it might not be so much supernatural as, like, yeah, sort of extra dimensional, you know.
Right.
And that concept, you know what I'm saying, like, if,
well, it brings,
like,
into...
if you you know, there could be, like, an actual physical basis for certain parts of it that, you know.
Right. Well, it brings into context the idea of a physical hell without it actually being a spiritual hell.
Yeah.
It makes it more based in scientific reality that yeah. there might be a dimension where, like, hell-like conditions are present, yeah. therefore being, like, the proverbial hell, or the hell yeah. from, you know, religious fiction and, you know, books like Paradise Lost and the Inferno, you know, more so than the Bible, if you want to call that religious fiction.
I was going to say,
we're going to get hate mail now. And
one of the older Hebrew terms for a hell used, originally referred to basically Jerusalem's garbage dump.
Right,
they would burn their
Gehenna
trash.
And,
it's Gehenna, yeah. Okay.
Right. Where they burned all the trash.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine it smelled pretty bad. And, I mean, anybody working there probably talked about how hellish it was, so I can imagine.
Well, I always thought that was kind of cool about the, one of the, I don't know how most people feel about this movie, but I thought it was entertaining, but Constantine?
Yeah, I thought so, too. I was entertained by it.
That version, like, where he goes to hell or visits it or whatever.
Right.
It looks like a trashed, like, city, basically.
Right. Well, it's exactly what it is here, only, like, destroyed.
Burned.
With, like, demons crawling around it, and with, like, you know, cars lit on fire, and buildings burning, and it's supposed to remind you of what you lived in before.
Yeah.
You know, in the destruction, and all, I assume, is to, for effect. More than anything else, because he never went to heaven or anything, so it's not like heaven was a, you know, even better looking version of L.A. You know?
Orange County.
Yeah, hey, it's so heaven's great. The, like, weather's nice here. It never rains. What's the deal?
But yeah, well, I guess that
looks like ancient Athens. That's a scientific fact.
Looks like Logan's Run. Yeah. You know, it's all like white, clean white plastic. You know?
Right, right.
And no bras.
And no bras.
No bras. Hell no. There wouldn't be.
And everyone lives
in
a mall. And you never grow old. Like I say, yeah, I guess the sort of the component of, like you were saying, it reminds you of how, you know, what you used to live in, what it used to be like. I guess, you know, there's that element. There has to be the essential element of torment. Otherwise, it's not hell.
Right.
You know, if it's just boring, that's not quite hell. You know, I mean, it has to. You know, there's that concept of torment and the torture and cruelty. So I guess that's why with the concept of, like, hell on earth, I guess it has to be, you know, there's the element of the sort of the unleashed, the armies of hell and the destruction and all this stuff. Because I guess, you know, people being basically materialistic,
right,
the only way to torture them is to tear up all their shit.
Well, sure.
You know, when you smash up everything and burn everything.
Right.
And take away all the stuff that they worked so hard to buy and accumulate. And
you suddenly broke it's all my stuff.
You trashed my car. My car is all smashed. These demons smashed my fucking car.
Yeah.
Look at that. My giant, you know, 8-bedroom house. It's all on fire and covered in blood. This is fucking hell. Damn it, I worked hard for all this stuff, and now it's all on fire and covered in blood. God damn it, you know? That's hell on earth. I mean, these demons and devils burning
they're all,
your...
They're all manners of lesser imps and demons, Delmar.
So,
but the devil himself, red and scaly, bifurcated tail, carries a hay fork.
So. Well, I mean, there's, you know... Hell, like anything. I mean, there's a hierarchy to it all. You know, there's everything has its own chain of command, and
there's your there's demons. And
well, there's I say there's like there's an ecosystem. You know, it'll all find its own place in time. You know,
some of the middle management of hell includes such luminaries as Asmodeus and Beelzebub and who's some of the other ones?
They're both devils.
Yeah, but they're greater devils, and then there's lesser devils. They're middle management, man. I mean, like, there's the big guy, and then, you know, there's everybody else.
Well, it's all been so convoluted through the absorption of... So, I mean, the word Satan comes from a Semitic word.
Shaitan.
Which is, you know, more closely related to Arabic.
Which is tasty. Have you ever had, like, shaitan, or, no, it's seitan. It's a...
No, but he used to play for the Jersey Devils.
Seitan. There's a,
play for the devil.
It's like a curd called seitan. It's like
a curd?
It's like a bean curd sort of deal. It's kind of like tofu. It's real tasty, though.
Never
it's
had
really
it.
Good stuff. I had some... No. Like jerk chicken made from it at a restaurant once. It was really good. But you had to order it like that. It was like, I'd like the jerk seitan, please.
Well, I was going to say, it's like, I mean, obviously every civilization has its own, you know, particular spin on hell.
Right. I mean, hell is a common...
And there's that... And often, you know, there's the idea of, you know, it, and obviously the it represents the, you know, the ultimate.
It's like chaos. Where,
yeah, I mean, it's just, it's the opposite. You know, it's meant to be this dramatic, absolute opposite.
Right.
Of everything you want. You know what I mean? Or every,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's so it represents, like, you know, this is where you don't want to be. This is where you don't want to go. This is what you don't want life to be.
Right.
You know,
and then they go and slap eternity on it. You know, like not only do you get this, which is bad,
so,
but you get it forever.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I was just gonna say, it's like even though the details different, you know, they may differ here and there, but I mean, it, you know, the general concept of it. You know,
well, I worked in a place last year that I hated tremendously, and it seemed like the place was designed as a layer of hell. It was very hot. It was a hot summer here, and they had fans.
It was so hot
blowing.
That the predators came.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Right.
Only in the hottest years.
But there were fans set up in the building, and they would literally be above your head, blowing on like an area behind you. Like in the middle of the floor where nobody was, and like you couldn't get anybody to come out and like change the position of the fan or anything. You know, I'm just thinking, man, you know, like I don't know much from a lake of fire, or you know, and we would also have to work like 10 hours a day, but they wouldn't tell us until like later in the day. They go, sure. Oh yeah, today's a 10-hour day,
yeah.
Or today is a 12-hour day. Sometimes they do that to us too, but yeah, it was very hell-like. And I remember telling somebody, I was like, look, I don't know much from lakes of fire, you know, and brimstone and all that stuff. But, you know, if a good, solid, you know, preacher told me that this was what hell was like, I'd get right with God, you know. Because, like, I do not want to spend much more time in here at all, let alone eternity.
You know the one that it's been a while since I've read it, but the one that they in the Odyssey, when they, it wasn't really hell, but I don't think the ancient Greeks really had a hell. They had an underworld.
Well, they had Hades.
Hades was the god of the underworld.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what?
But like when, you know, they actually in the Odyssey, they go to the underworld to talk to Achilles, and it's basically they're just like standing around and they're all really bored. There's no real torment, but they're just like pale shadows of what they used to be.
Don't like some of them get tormented though? I mean,
I'm just going from what I remember of the Odyssey.
Seems now Hades isn't the name of hell; it's the underworld, and Hades is a god of the underworld. Is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah, Hades was the Greek counterpart to Pluto.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, but I mean, it was. I thought Hades was also the name of like the land of the dead.
He wasn't necessarily evil either. I mean, he was just like the god of the underworld, and he was kind of morose.
Well, none of the gods were very good. I mean, other than like maybe Mercury, and. Or really,
Athena.
It was Hermes, and Mercury was the counterpart to...
And Apollo, and... Well, sometimes even he got kind of nasty, but it seems like Athena didn't. But anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But it seemed like when they talked about it in the Odyssey, it was just like... It wasn't a place of torment, it was... But, I mean, I guess, like, boredom.
But yeah, I say it wasn't the sort of the paradise where you're, you know, the... green fields.
Yeah, it wasn't the Elysian fields. Or
and you're being fed grapes by virgins all day long.
Oh, man.
That stuff.
Live.
Well, yeah.
No, I get tired of grapes.
I get tired of virgins.
But, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like that sort of concept, too. But I guess that, the it represents this, you know, like I said, what you don't want. So obviously the concept of it coming here to this world and destroying everything you have,
right,
is, I guess, it's one thing, I guess, you know, you live your whole life, do whatever, and then you go to hell, like that would be bad. But then, but then for it to all come here extra early and ruin all your plans.
And not only would they have all, like, bust off all your stuff, but then there would be these otherworldly creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on, you know, which version of, especially the Christian hell that you're going to go with. You go with the old Miltonian one where they're just fallen evil angels, which would be bad because, you know, there'd be like these seemingly perfect beings doing really bad shit to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you, you know, when they started to torment, turn the different, you know, denizens of hell into various, like,
monsters eat your entrails and then throw them back up at you while you're watching.
And then it all looks like one of those Bosch paintings. And
Or that one from the Player's Handbook.
Hieronymus Bosch. Paladin. I love Hieronymus Bosch. He's one of my favorite painters, as a matter of fact. Hieronymus Bosch.
Which one from Player's Handbook?
You know, it's on the other side of the Paladin, and this Paladin goes to hell, and it's the
Paladin.
Didn't somebody get armor. A big back tattoo of that?
No, well, Jeremiah was talking about.
Oh yeah,
he says
I have to pay for it if I win the lottery.
Yeah, dude, that's the
he'll
shit.
Get Paladin's descent into hell.
Right.
I don't remember what's opposite that.
It's just like info on the Paladin.
Oh,
character.
Okay. Paladin's descent.
I remember hell. Though the whole plane guide, remember, that had like the
manual of the planes.
Yeah, and it had like all of the planes, and it had like Gehenna.
Several had, well, some were only one level, some planes had multiple levels.
But it had like Limbo. Limbo was in there. Is Limbo actually considered
Limbo
to be
was purgatory.
Like the purgatory? But Limbo, I thought, described like a, like where the Hindus, isn't Limbo a Hindu?
And, well, it depends on what cosmology, really, you're talking about. I mean, then, like I was talking about earlier, like in the whole Dante thing, Purgatory and Limbo are the same place. And
okay.
Actually, Limbo was the very, very... it was like the antechamber in the Inferno, because that's where all the...
the waiting room?
Yeah, it was like the...
the waiting room for hell.
It was nothing bad was happening, but it was where all the, like, the good Jews went. You know,
see, that's my that's
they
my,
called him like something patriarch.
That's my favorite patriarch. Curse. My favorite curse is "I'll see you in hell." Like, you know,
it was like where all the good people who weren't baptized Christians were.
So they weren't going to go to
unless,
heaven.
Unless they were taken up into heaven on the harrowing of hell, in which it was like the second day. It was one of the days right after Jesus ascended into heaven, and then
he got back in his spaceship and took off.
Yeah, and he went down to hell and got up like Moses and Abraham and all those guys.
Started a band.
Of course.
We're getting the band back together.
But that's called the harrowing of hell.
So everybody knows that rock music is from the devil. Even the Christian devil. Rock music. Christian rock music is just so awful. I can imagine like hell being filled with Christian rock.
I was going to say, that's hell on earth right there.
yeah, that's hell on earth.
No doubt about
it. Man, but there are no more rabid fans than fucking Christian rock fans. If you see like those commercials where they're playing, you know, Christian rock and those, you know, like the boy band Christian rock and the girls, and they're just like eyes are closed and swaying back and forth.
Not only
man,
are they
it's
fans
hard.
Of music, but they're also
fans of Jesus.
They're in a religious, well, I don't know fervor? If you want to say stupor, but fervor, yes.
Right.
Fervor. But
religious stupor, dude. I was so fucked up on God last night.
I fell down. I think I broke a toe.
Yeah.
I was so high on Jesus.
Oh,
I broke a
I'm
toe.
Hungover. I can't go to church today, man.
No, I was so high on Jesus, man. I ate a whole bag of chips.
Oh man.
Right on.
Yeah.
But I think that
boy, I can't get enough of that body of Christ.
I think that all the like our the Western view of like, you know, demons with like pointy head or pointy, you know, horns and all that crap. I think that a lot of that comes from like non-Christian
Jews
like influence. I was thinking more of like like
with the horns.
And the claws and the fangs and the tails and the wings.
Oh, man.
Actually, I think it mostly comes from that area, but I think it comes from like Arabic, you know, like the whole thing about genies and jinns and all that.
Oh, right.
They
well,
had like
yeah.
tons I mean, of demons.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of like early like Jewish mysticism and an early Muslim mysticism that is all based around that kind of idea of there being like monsters and things outside of those that are actually written about in like the Quran and in the Bible and the Torah, and they're like the whole idea of like golems and stuff like that, and you know,
yeah, but I mean, you get a lot of that stuff brought in from. You know, influenced various societies.
Yeah.
From like, especially, I mean, the Hindus have some really crazy looking demons. I mean, not you know, everybody thinks of like the multi-armed god and stuff, but their demons are really crazy looking. And that, I think we get a lot of our influence from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I would say like that, there's that idea that, you know, if it, the way that, you know, the different cultures, different societies interpret, you know, they may have experienced something and they filter it through their cultural,
like a sandstorm is a demon
way, and then perceive it in some way. But that idea, like we were talking about with if something like Doom, to where, you know, a alien, either extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional, you know, life form, when it was a culture that, you know, couldn't even conceive of the idea of that, obviously, you know, it's instantly interpreted as something supernatural.
Right.
You know, and the sort of general fear of the unknown, I guess, you know, is to whatever you don't know, it gets sort of demonized. It's, you know, so that idea of like that there could actually be real, actual, physical creatures, you know, as like the counterparts to things that are parts of mythology and parts of religious.
Right. Well, there, a lot of times when they consider like a multidimensional hell-like dimension, you know, encountering that, you know, our plane of existence, they try to, you know, show that it has happened before, you know, or more or less, where, like, you know, these things are do exist and have been here before, but in a very limited manner, you know. And this is the time, you know, especially in a lot of, like, movies, this is the time where they're going to get here and stay, you know. They're not going to sit back where they came, yes, from whence, yeah, they came. But, you know, you get, like, the best is the gate. The gate is the gate. Best.
Is that the one with the little bitty demons? And
yeah,
like all somebody's the backyard.
Yeah, there's the hole in the guy's
they
backyard.
They get the album, right? They get the album that's with the band, and I can't think of the name of the band. What is the name of the band?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It's been a long
we
time.
We need our fact checker. Jason was going to fact check for us. I forgot to call him and told him about the show tonight. Sorry, Jason. But yeah, we need the band name. I'll probably end up like finding it and putting it as the end theme tonight.
Yeah, it won't be hard to find.
The song at the end of the, because it's got the little red haired kid, and
but
he's
they,
like
they
all
they,
into like demon bands.
Yeah,
and
they
stuff,
have like the they have the demon scary heavy metal album.
Right, and then there's the thing in the backyard because they figure out how to call. They do something. Because otherwise, everybody who played the album would have it happen. But they do something to make it like happen. Because he's like the nerdy.
There's like something. Like, it's like there's
kid
the
that figures it out.
There's something in like the liner notes.
Yeah.
Because they're
yeah.
reading something out of the album over the hole in the ground.
Yeah, and it actually creates the gate to
the
hell,
gate to
and
hell.
It starts smoking.
But it's all like the little nerd kids, and they're like. Parents are out of town or something, and they're
yeah.
having the sleepover.
Yeah, it's his
and...
sister. The guy, because the guy in it is the guy from some. It's not Brad Dourif, but
no, it's
Stephen Dorff. It is. It's Stephen Dorff. He's the guy from Blade. He plays the bad vampire dude in Blade.
Stephen Dorff. Yes.
But yeah, he's like a little kid in it.
He's not the redheaded guy who's on the. I don't even know if it's still on the sitcom. It's called like For Life or something like that. It's about some guy and his wife and their kids.
No, that's
Married for Life or something.
No, that's not Stephen.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
No, that's not Stephen.
You're talking about Grounded for Life?
Grounded for Life, yeah.
Married oh, for no. Life. Married for Life. God, imagine the horror of that. Then that's hell on earth. Get married forever.
Forever.
God, the whole idea, like, people, like, do that, too. And you know, I hate to out myself as, like, a terrible, not romantic. But
I think it's a beautiful institution.
Marriage?
I think it's a wonderful, magical, beautiful institution.
The whole idea of, like,
I can't wait to get married
love
so I can
everlasting.
Yeah. I know. I really want to discover what sex is like. I look forward to finding a beautiful Christian woman and marrying her and sharing a life together, and I can finally have sex.
That's a hell of a lofty goal there.
I know.
Actually, yeah, I understand.
You know, it's God's will. It's not my choice. It's God's will.
God wants you to have sex
with a beautiful, loving Christian woman.
Hell yeah, he does. He wants you to have beautiful, loving Christian sex.
No, it's
wife.
Very, very robotic and mechanical.
Have you heard about the Christian porn? Like there is a, like actual,
yes.
It's actual Christian porn between like married
well, no,
couples.
I,
and they're
I,
doing
I,
it like
I,
you know.
I saw the somewhere. I found
porn.
A link somewhere to the website for Christian sex toys.
Like I've seen crosses and
no.
stuff like that.
No,
like,
it's not that. No, it's sex toys, but they're packaged and marketed in ways. That aren't crass and you know, they're like sex toys, but like apparently
it's like Jesus holding the
no
coffin.
No, but I mean it's but I mean it was like stuff you know to where it wasn't really explicit and vulgar. You know,
I got you. But they're sexual aids.
Yeah,
for...
yeah, and they're not called cock rings. You know, they had like a slightly different name. No, I mean they weren't covered in, you know, crosses or pictures of Jesus' head. You know, they weren't Christian in that sense, but they were marketed for people who they didn't have pictures of naked people on the packaging.
Oh, okay.
You know, they didn't have like explicit references to sexual practices.
It wasn't like a casting of some famous porn star's cock.
No. And the 18-inch black double-ended black tower was called something else. I don't know. But
because you know that's still around because it's a party favorite.
Anyway. Even about marriage. you were saying bad things about marriage.
I was mentioning that that like the whole idea of like love everlasting sounds pretty hardcore to me. I don't know. I mean I dearly adore all the women, you know, to all the girls I've loved before. That kind of thing. I do not want to spend eternity with any of them. I'm sorry. I just, you know, hey, baby, I think you're great. I think a good 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, maybe even possible, you know, 50 years. Could be pulling off 50 years and saying you're my one and only. But, you know, 50 years and eternity are a hell of a lot of difference in time. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can even pull off, like, a 60-year marriage, you're in good company. You know, like, you know, a lot of people can't do that. But the people, you know, the hell, word to the person that can do a 60-year marriage. But, you know, the reality of it is that if you're in a 60-year marriage, a lot of it's probably, like, just a, well, I don't think I can live, you know, I'm a housewife.
Well, I was going to say, I'm sure you're not, I'm sure you're not, like, blissfully happy for 60 years straight.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of it is just
I'm just guessing that once,
and...
you know, like, okay, I'm just, all right, just as a timeline here, 60 years, all right, yes, you have some differences, but you're able to get along with one another, and you're doing okay. 400 or 500 years, maybe, you have a few, like, irks about one another to where, you know, maybe things aren't going so well. And when you get to, like, 3,000 and 4,000 years... you haven't even really touched on, like, what eternity really is. I mean, well, even if you go back as far as the dinosaurs, like, you still don't even get, like, a very good concept of what eternity means. And I'm just thinking that the whole idea of, like,
well, I think,
eternity
I
with
think,
another
I
person.
I think a lot of the...
Because sooner or later, you're going to get tired of the tang.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I'd say, like, a lot of the concepts, like he was saying earlier... about Hades and that stuff is like, I say a lot of the concepts of hell beyond like the sort of the grotesque physical torment stuff, a lot of it is the sort of the monotony. You know, it is like the overwhelmingly like sort of painfully mundane, like emptiness type of thing. You know, you're not being stabbed with hot pokers and
I think a lot of that comes from the Inquisition, probably.
Yeah, I mean, that type of stuff. Like,
oh,
a lot
yeah,
of,
yeah, definitely.
You know, a lot of it, you know, a lot of it.
Well, they're made from, like, actual physical tortures that people with, you know, there a lot of stuff that, like, you know, we don't experience much today. You know, tortures, like, obviously, like, things like waterboarding have been in the news, you know, where, you know, you try to drown a person.
It's
but
like
you,
swimming.
You know, it is.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, like a lot of it...
But
you know,
we've done some pretty awful stuff to people.
Aside from that, it's... I mean, aside from, like, the grotesque, torturous side of it, you know, a lot of it is that idea of just... It's not so much the infliction of pain and torment as this... the denial of pleasure and happiness.
Right.
It's just this sort of endless, gray, empty...
Nothing. Right.
Where, like, the people in heaven, it's all beautiful and green and sunshine and they're happy and all that, you know. And there's this, it's just, you're denied anything that's sort of remotely satisfying and pleasant.
You know? You get four channels.
But then, yeah, with the
PBS on a Sunday.
The stuff, you know, like,
and Sunday's one of the better days for PBS.
Is it? I'm not a big
Nova's on Nova's anymore. On Sunday night.
Nova's on Sunday night.
You got
night.
This old right house. That. You got all the this old house ones.
But yeah, I mean, there's then I guess the later, you know, with the really sort of the with things like the Inquisition, yeah, you get that sort of the concept of hell as torture and torment and you know, you're being punished, like physically, you know, punished for eternity.
Well, that was used to sell heaven.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's over. You know, it's so dramatic in its interpretation.
Right. Well, I'll take this chance to take a break, and we'll be back after these messages. Hello, listeners. This is James from Destructomundo Podcast. We would like to ask you to take some time to reflect on what our quality programming means to you. Our programming that we provide for free to you, our loyal listeners, comes with a price. Adam has to be lured in to do the show with the promise of many hams, sausages, and bacon goods. Ted has to be driven in a horse-drawn chariot to our studios in order to perform in his accustomed manner. Jeremiah has his midget entourage. I'm sorry, they prefer to be called prostitutes. Derek must have blood. Gallons and gallons of blood. All of this keeps our production costs high, and although we have tightened our belts during this economic downturn, we would like to ask for your support in helping keep this level of quality programming coming to you by asking that you visit www.destructomundopodcast.com and clicking on the Google ads on the right side of the page. It only takes a minute. It can mean so much to a starving child like Consuela here. Please don't turn your back on Consuela and the thousands of other children like her that need your help. Thank you for your time and your mouse clicks.
Variant Frequencies, your speculative fiction dial. Find us at www.variantfrequencies.com. Variant Frequencies is a podcast that stretches the entire bandwidth of genre fiction, modulated by a constant element of the fantastic. Every month, we give you a new story, so tune in, turn the volume up, and let some of our weird carrier waves distort your reality for just a little while.
Okay, we're back. And,
better than ever.
Better than ever. After that wonderful commercial break.
So,
from our sponsors.
Buy the products that our sponsors sell.
Indeed. Crisco.
So, to get to the actual meat of the subject of Hell on Earth, assuming that you're unfortunate enough to be here when it happens, say there's a hole in your backyard where they were digging the in-ground pool, and you know one of the neighborhood kids happens to open the gate,
right? Because it's on the Indian burial ground.
In the hole in the ground in your backyard on the Indian burial ground where they were putting your in-ground pool.
Yep.
And he read some liner notes on a metal album and opened the gate to hell. Or, you know, there's like, you know, some girl who's part of a prophecy and something, I don't know. And she
wants to have sex with you and open up seals.
Something, I don't know. Stuff, that kind of stuff. Say,
or
you know,
if the baby's being born that is not going to have a soul because the well of souls in heaven is empty.
So I forgot about that. And then and then
or if you're here when the false prophet and the Antichrist, who are two different people, show up and they create, you know, their hell on earth,
right? Yeah,
before the actual, like, you know, the actual apocalypse.
Yeah.
Well, then we'll know that's going to happen because all the people will have disappeared.
Yeah, all the good Christians will be gone.
Whoosh.
That'll be heaven.
I know.
When all the Christians are gone?
Yeah.
That'll be heaven on earth.
Then you'll see somebody that you think they're out to be all pious and they'll still be around. You can go, ha ha. You're probably a ped or something.
So, if you are unfortunate enough, if it happens and you're here, I guess the question is, you know, what can you do?
Well, fighting demons.
Well, I'd say for me, it comes down to what I was saying earlier. Like, you know, are they just something unearthly, or are they like, you know, full blown supernatural? Because if they're just, you know, from another dimension, whatever, you can probably still shoot them.
Right.
You know, but if they're like full-blown supernatural shit, you know.
You'd be like Solomon Cain and have like a sword and a couple of muskets and like...
Me, I'm going to have a shotgun and an ice axe and a machete. you know, but...
I've got a stone hatchet.
Blast him back to hell from whence they came.
A cigar jammed in the corner of my mouth and a shotgun in one hand and a...
I was saying earlier, though, that is my absolute favorite curse, and I hope it's my last words. I'll see you in hell. Because, yeah, we were talking about that, and how, like, you know, there'll be some long, drawn-out version of that.
It's wonderfully... Samurai films. It's succinct and rude and poetic all at the same time.
Right.
You know, it says so much of just, like, you know... It's like, I'm going to hell. I know that. I've accepted that. But I know you're going too. It's just that
I'm going first.
Fate has chosen me to go first, but I know you're doomed to go there sooner or later. And I fucking hate you so much that I'm going to be sitting there waiting for you when you show up, ever how long it takes. So, and that whatever problems that these two, you know, whatever trouble, you know, I had with you in this life, it ain't over, and I'm ready to wait in hell forever how long it takes for you to show up, and we'll continue this.
Right.
And it pretty much says all of that, like, I'll see you in hell.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
It is indeed my favorite curse, just because of that. Yeah. Because you can't escape the hate that I have for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter what, because, yeah.
It's.
But what if you ended up in heaven? You were like, oh, well, what do you know?
You could still see him.
What if you saw him in heaven? What if you were just incorrect about your orientation and you were like, well, I'm a bad man and I'm going to go to hell and I'll see you in hell. And then you ended up in heaven, but you know, were kind of like...
But then just before you died, you like ran out into traffic to save a puppy?
Yeah, or something, and got... Yeah, sent to heaven. And
or
they
like
did,
a little...
And they did too.
Remember, or like a little, you know, blind orphan girl.
The scales didn't quite tip, you know, towards the...
And all of your years of whoring and murdering and white slaving and piracy were...
White slaving.
Were swept aside because... Gonna
get me thrown in
because hell. You ran out into traffic to save a...
Puppy.
A puppy and a blind orphan girl.
Or a blind orphan puppy.
And then you
erased all that white slaving.
All the years of murder, piracy, rape, and white slaving.
Well, you just be Catholic and ask for forgiveness.
Well, where's the fun in that?
But. Hey, I'm sorry I did all that stuff.
Except okay.
Cool.
Suddenly you're Captain Gentleman Duncan Brown.
Can't just be sorry. You have to say you're sorry to a priest.
Yeah, but I mean, what if you did?
Then
I'm sorry I slaved.
Sorry, all the...
that I've done.
His list is 10 times as long.
Breaking. Skull thumping.
Knocking over that Piggly Wiggly. You said you didn't do that. I lied about that. And I'm forgiven for that, too.
But,
oh, yeah.
But when the legions of hell are unleashed upon Earth...
Well, how would the legions of hell be unleashed? I mean, we've all, like... what are some of the prime examples of the ways that hell...
Well, I mean, is it in the sort of classical Christian... You know, devil, hell, sense. Is it? I don't know much of this stuff because. Does
you
he
go to Sunday school?
No. Is that a robot? Does he have any desire? Is it Satan's desire to unleash hell on Earth?
I think that maybe it is.
What does he have to gain from that?
Torturing humanity before they get thrown in hell, and
is that part of his master plan?
I don't know. I mean,
according
because,
to Revelations, they're
is that on the big board?
And they're like
the war room in hell.
Apparently, they're like
we can't let them in here. You'll see the big board.
But I mean, is that part of his master plan? To unleash hell on earth?
Obviously, I mean, I'm not a biblical scholar, but from what I understand in Revelations, they're like, and from watching Pat Robertson, mm-hmm. they're like three
you
different...
You know he can, like, press, like, 1,000 pounds with his legs or something?
Who? Pat Robertson?
Pat Robertson, he drinks, he's got some, like, Christian energy drink that he swears
Jesus
by.
Jesus juice?
I don't know, he markets it. It's like some Christian protein shake, and he can like, leg press 1,000 pounds.
Pat Robertson is the best, because...
I don't know, anyway, I'm sorry.
He does that whole thing with his show, and he's like... He'll say the most awful things while he's, like, giggling. He'll be like, clearly these people are going to hell.
Anyway.
You know, like that. And I was like, what kind of horrible thing is that to say to somebody and then laugh while you're doing it? I mean, that just seems maniacal to me.
I'm sorry.
But they're, like, they talk about, like, their different stages to revelations. Everybody pretty much, of course, because we're, you know, in the Western world, just kind of want the quickie version, but... There are, like, several different minor apocalypses in the Book of the Apocalypse. You know, it's not just you break the seventh seal and the four horsemen of the apocalypse come out and it's over. There are, like, a bunch of different, you know, like you said, like I said, there's the false prophet, then there's the Antichrist, and they rule the earth for X number of years, and, you know, they torment people. I mean, it's not like a hell on earth, literally, because it's actual physical torment.
Yeah.
Of the people who don't have the sign, which is either, you know, like some people say it's the 666 or the barcode or whatever you want to call it. And
they
then,
did that as a joke. Like the guys from MIT knew that the barcode was going to end up on everything and ended up doing that. I think we said that in Revelations in our Antichrist show.
I wasn't here for that.
Yeah.
But, and there will actually be like, you know, different people see it different ways, but some people say, you know, like a. They'll have political control over everybody, and it'll be a police state, and it's...
Hey.
Yada, 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 and then...
There'll be cameras everywhere, we won't be able to take liquids on airplanes.
And there'll be secret prisons, and...
Secret prisons?
Physical torture, like waterboarding.
Hey.
It's like swimming.
So, there... I mean, that's...
You get no cigars?
That's crazy talk.
That's one of the versions of, like, hell on Earth, and it'll be like somebody... You know, the false prophet, the prince, or whatever they call him, will be
prince?
In charge
oh, okay.
of the so many nations, which some people think is NATO or the EU. And then they'll, you know, it'll be
CETO,
actually...
man.
It's no longer in effect.
CETO?
No.
What is CETO?
Southeast Asia Treaty Organization.
CETO. Oh.
It was us, Australia, New Zealand, Korea, Japan.
We're not in Southeast Asia.
We're not... Part of us are.
Hawaii.
Guam.
I mean, come on. Guam.
Are they going to Lincoln Log?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, brown eye.
Okay.
I don't see that every day.
Stop watching Skinamax. Record the show. What is this called? What the
Co-ed Confidential.
Co-ed Confidential.
We're only watching this because... Because
Busty
Cops 2 is coming on right after.
Yep, there you go.
So this episode of Destructomundo is brought to you by... Wow, they are Lincoln Log.
Ah, there we go.
Co-ed Confidential and Skinamax. We're all the...
You know, I don't think if somebody had started making faces like that when I was having sex with them... Well, I'd finish, and then I'd just laugh at him.
I do that every time. I don't know where you get it. I laugh at him, throw him a 20, and leave. It's my way of doing things.
Oh, my.
She just licked her own knee.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. She's so hot, she had to lick herself. Anyway.
She's tasty chocolate. That's why. Anyway, yes, but yeah, some of the, getting back to these...
What about the hell on earth from Big Trouble in Little China?
Hey, that's, yeah.
Hell of being skinned alive.
They got a lot of hells in...
Six demon bag. What? Six demon bag.
Black blood of the earth? You mean oil? No, I mean black blood of the earth.
That's genius. That's good stuff.
The hell of being skinned alive, and there's the There's all kinds of hells in the Chinese myth.
But I think, that's the sort of, just that idea of, like, someone, I think a lot of it is, there's that, not necessarily the devil, but the sort of evil, you know, evil person kind of wanting to bring, you know, that,
to the rest,
like, of they have some sort of a connection to this otherworldly evil power that they get power from, and their mission is to, like, let it loose here into our world.
Hellraiser.
I was thinking more like in The Golden Child, but the best Eddie Murphy movie ever.
No, Pluto Nash.
No, it's the 80s. He's at the peak of his career, and he makes a movie with a bald-headed Tibetan kid and like the chosen one and Tibetan mythology, and he's a child social worker fighting demons.
Thing with the wheel where he's like starts spinning.
And he's scratching on the wheel in the monastery in Tibet, dude.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen Golden Child. I don't think I have.
I mean, it's like
Eddie Murphy from the '80s. How do you not see that?
No, I mean it's like
Coming to America,
and it's not like he made it when he was a nobody or like way after his peak and he was desperate for something. You know, I mean, it's Eddie Murphy like in the '80s, and he made a movie where he's a like L.A. social worker fighting demons and all this fucking weird like. Shit with Tibetan mythology. Anyway. But, yes, but that's pretty much what that's about. But, yeah, you've got these, you know, people sort of like trying to, you know, their mission here on Earth is to sort of open the door for their, you know, master on the other side, you know,
right,
type of shit.
Right.
Like,
well, there's a lot of that
stuff. You know, that type of stuff. But, you know, and so much of it, for lack of a better... Because I think because it is the sort of unknown thing, it sort of becomes... It's just referred to as hell.
Right.
You know, because it's something that is so far beyond the sort of basic, you know, fundamental comprehension, you know. And like I said, those sort of beings that are called devils, called demons, just because they... don't really know what the hell they are, that type of idea.
Right.
There's a lot of that stuff. But then they come here and you just, can you shoot them? Can you blow them up? Can you hit them in the forehead with an ice axe? You never know.
Well, there's a, well, in the sense of like bringing a master into this universe from the universe of the hell dimension.
Ghostbusters?
Yeah, there's Ghostbusters and bringing in Gozer.
Prince of Darkness.
In Prince of Darkness.
Hellboy?
But Gozer the Gozerian.
Hellboy.
Hellboy, definitely.
Yeah, Gozer.
Gozer.
Vince Clortho.
Vince Clortho.
The Keymaster of Gozer. That's excellent.
Gozer the Gozerian.
Excellent stuff.
Need to exit this dimension and... to the nearest extra-dimensional, what do they say?
I don't remember.
I can't remember.
Beyond.
Are you a god? No.
Between, I am Vince Clortho, Keymaster of Gozer. Are you the gatekeeper? That's good stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Were you going to cite a particular example?
I was just saying Hellboy, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with the idea of Hellboy and being that they have Rasputin as their, like, catalyst. The guy who's...
This is a series.
Wow. It is a series. There's a next time on Co-Ed Confidential.
Next week.
Let me reiterate. There was a hell of a lot of Lincoln logging going on. In Co-Ed Confidential.
And you saw...
In case you don't know what Lincoln
Logging
is.
And we saw the brown eye.
And I want you to, right now, Lincoln Logging, explain. A short little discussion. Just in case you don't know what Lincoln Logging is. I want you to raise your right hand, and I want you to make the Vulcan sign.
I think people should...
And then I want you to raise your left hand and make the Vulcan sign with that hand, too.
And then do the nanu-nanu.
I didn't realize people didn't know that term. I don't know. Busty Cops 2, More Cops, Bigger Bust.
Yes.
That's the full
title. It's an adult drama.
There's nothing like Skinamax on a Saturday night.
I like adult drama. That's the only thing that got me through the 80s in my teenage years.
Okay. But when in Hellboy, you had, like, the best of all worlds, in my opinion. I really, really loved Hellboy. I thought it was a great comic, and I read the comic after the movie. I'm not, like, a true fan, but in so much as that I, you know, was waiting years for Hellboy to come out. I know I saw it afterwards, and I was, like, really impressed.
The movie had the lovely Selma Blair in it.
Yes. Who is the, you know, hot nerd girl in all kinds of movies. She's the spurned other woman in a lot of films, and now she got to, you know, she plays a big role.
Trailer's out for the sequel.
No, I haven't seen it.
But,
looks pretty good.
You have Nazis. First you got, you know, Rasputin working with the Nazis to bring back hell on Earth, if anybody could ever do that. I mean, I love the Nazi occult like stuff that they do in those movies, but yeah, this was great. And then the fact that, you know, they're trying to make that interdimensional gate, you know, it's very you know, out of tubes. You know, the thing had like the crazy like tube finger glove that the guy had, you know, that Rasputin had, and it has like all the tubes on his hands. Like on his tips of his fingers, they're like they're vacuum tubes, it looked like. And you know, he's trying to bring forth like what looked like to me a very Cthulhu-like monster from outer space, you know, with tentacles and everything, and, you know, coming through and breaking up.
Tentacles.
Because, you know, tentacles mean loving, you know, and there's a lot of like good solid anime that is all about like hell on earth tentacle rape and like. You know, and that's a genre of its own. Is
it's
tentacle rape.
Japanese love their calamari.
Mm-hmm. You know, protein from the sea, man. It's all about the protein from the sea. So yeah, there's a lot of that. But yeah, with the fact that they had, you know, Hellboy is actually like the, you know, was brought in to facilitate like the destruction of the earth through this, like,
he's
hell.
The harbinger.
Yeah, the harbinger.
It's a good word.
I always screw that up. I always used to say harbinger, and I think that's just from my youth. Like, I just didn't know how to pronounce it, but I never say it. It's not like one of my daily words, you know, vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Harbinger.
Harbinger.
So yeah, he comes in, and you know, his big old arm is the key that opens up, you know, the gate, and his giant horns, which he files down, but it, like that crown that appears above his head when his horns are fully grown. It's like a flame crown that sits on top of his head. Mm-hmm. So he's to, you know, be some kind of, you know, like deity of sorts, I assume. But I just like that, you know, that he's, you know, going against his nature to.
Well, yeah, I think the whole point of it is that, I guess it's the whole thing between like destiny and free will,
right?
You know, is that he can be what he wants to be.
Yeah. And but he fights off a lot of like demon-like things,
and
he's
not
way.
Destined to be this thing that other people want him to be,
right?
And need him, you know, to be for their purposes. Yeah. So he can resist all that, and he can be his own Hellboy.
Right. But yeah, sure. the idea of that, and then in Hellraiser, you had like the puzzle box bringing forth like various aspects of the Cenobites dimension when you turned, you know, it would open a particular gate that would bring forth like some of the Cenobites that came through, like, you know, the obvious ones are like Pinhead, and then there's the guy with his mouth all stretched over the back of his
Chatterbox.
Head. Yeah, Chatterbox guy. Chatterbox and Pinhead. So like basically when you're a Cenobite, you get
the woman, and then I think the other one's called Butterball.
Yeah, you get a cutesy name, and like a big leather bonded suit with a big, you know, dress, essentially. And the
a few years later, we discovered what the inspiration was for all that.
Very pale skin, yes. Yeah.
Actually, in the second movie, it also acted as a. It opened up a dimensional portal to the Cenobite domain.
That's right. Because it had the girl that was like the puzzle master. Like she was like autistic, but she could work the puzzle box to make it do whatever. Mm. I mean, imagine if you're sitting at home, you know, you got a Rubik's Cube, and then you start fucking with it and you get it all out of whack. And then, like, hell starts being unleashed in your apartment. And you're like, holy shit. And you figure out it's the Rubik's Cube. And then you're trying to, you know, like, not only is hell, like, around you and fire and like, demons hunting you down. And you're having to, like, try to get this Rubik's Cube back in, like, its order. I would bust it and then put it back together.
I would peel the little colored things off of one side and put them all back on the other.
Which I thought, you know, I would totally have done with the puzzle box. So I would have busted it and put it back together.
I always just solved my Rubik's Cube with a screwdriver.
But it made that weird, like, electrical thing whenever it would do, you know, like... they would push the button on it and
it would open up and do that.
Yeah, and that just, I don't know. Clive Barker. Oh, yeah. Clive Barker. He has written quite a few books on hell being unleashed on Earth, as a matter of fact. I'm not as familiar with his written works as a lot of people are here in this room, but I can tell you most of the movies stink.
Well, yeah, that's true of most.
I think both of the two huge, giant novels I read were having to do with, like, some sort of hell on Earth.
Did he do
The Great and Secret
Show?
In
the Mouth of Madness, or is that...
No, that's sort of loosely based on Lovecraft,
very,
from what I understand.
Very loosely based on Lovecraft.
But that's not Clive Barker.
No.
That was it was somebody fairly big who directed it or produced it.
I just can't remember.
I never saw it. I wanted to, though.
Yeah, because that's kind of hell on Earth. I mean, the guy writes whatever, you know, whatever he writes becomes real, you know, and you can...
And if it was a really bad writer, that would be hell on Earth.
Sure. I mean, can you imagine if, like, Stephen King...
Or Michael Michael Crichton?
Oh, God. What if everything wrong Michael Crichton wrote became, like, real, you'd have, like, you know...
There's five
monkey,
different plagues going on.
Apes with lasers.
Apes with lasers, Ebola, Andromeda strain.
Congo was the worst.
Well, no.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, if
man.
It wouldn't matter if everything he wrote, because it would only be like... One of his first books was Andromeda strain, and everybody dies in that.
Yeah, but I can just imagine Congo.
Or Outbreak. What about Outbreak and Congo?
Was Outbreak a...
The monkeys? Writing? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he read an article in Discover magazine about Ebola, and then had to write a novel using only the information available in a 2-page article. And
Jesus, that sounds like
that's pretty much how he works. It's like I read an article about the feasibility of cloning dinosaurs, so I'm gonna write a book, but I'm not gonna do any research. I'm just gonna use this 2-page article, and I'll just gloss over all the scientific details.
Well, because who needs all that anyways? It's just filler.
People get bored with all the details.
The huge thing in Outbreak, the big mistake they made when they made that movie, is the monkey that brings Ebola to America is not an African monkey. It's a capuchin, which is South American, or actually Central American.
Mm.
So that just throws the whole movie off.
They didn't know that they were up against Adam, who knows his monkeys.
Yep.
Well, that's a good point.
The big difference, I mean, obviously, besides the type of monkey it is that New World monkeys' tails are prehensile and...
Old World monkeys ain't.
Yep.
Oh. So they can't swing from their monkey? Or from their tails? From their
Correct.
Monkeys.
No, they just use it as balance.
Correct. Old world monkeys do not have prehensile tails.
Uh-huh.
And that's evolution from way back.
So, I mean, if a If a virtual hell on Earth does exist, are we doomed to some sort of demon slavery where they torment us, and or do they try to kill us all?
Well, I think that's kind of what I was exploring. Yeah, when I was asking about sort of like Satan's master plan thing. Like,
right.
What do they really want? Do they just want to take over and like? Yeah, do they want to enslave us?
It's a weird motivation, isn't it?
And torment us? Do they want to kill us and eat us? I don't know. What do they want to do?
Maybe it's...
Do they want to zap us back to their world?
It's the final, like, living proof that God, you know, or that Satan is around. I mean, I've always said this for years, and I hate this, because what it winds up being is like, you know, it's the priest that lost his faith, and now he's got to fight demons and stuff like that, but he's lost his faith. And I'm like... Nothing would snap you back faster to your faith than knowing for certain that there was a devil actively trying to fuck with you.
Sure.
You know, and send you to hell. You know? And then you would be like, oh, yeah, I believe everything now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the shit. Yeah,
no
the
conscious of. No
the shit like
faith.
Yeah, like in The Exorcist. You know what I mean? It's like. You would ever question any of that.
Sure,
and then
like,
you,
oh, yeah.
And then you spend,
oh, yeah.
You spend 10 seconds in that room with that girl, and you're like, okay, I'm back.
Yeah. I mean, wow. What's the problem here? I don't see it.
Exactly.
So, you know, there was a movie in the 70s, and it was halfway decent, and I think it's called The Sentinel. And it's about, like, a guy in an apartment. And he's like a blind guy, and only one person has ever chosen to be the sentinel, and this is like the gate to hell or something like that.
Mm.
But what he does is he sits in this apartment and basically blocks the way from hell to reach Earth.
Does he just keep like his foot on the door or something?
He sits at like...
Sits in a chair up against the door to hell?
Well, he sits in a room and makes sure that nothing comes in this like gateway. And it's like he just sits there and watches this. I think it's a door in the movie. But he basically, that's all he does. And he sees the horrors that try to come through, you know. And he has to stop them. And he's given charge to stop these, you know, horrors from coming through. But yeah, it's like an apartment in New York or something. And he's got a...
Well, where else would hell come through?
Or New Jersey, you know. Could be New Jersey, you know.
Technically, it's
New Jersey.
The Lincoln Tunnel.
They all blur together.
Yeah.
Little Who'd Yankee
have thought
states.
That hell would be New Jersey. But yeah, it's the idea of like the movie is basically that he does block like hell and demons from unleashing themselves upon the earth. So I assume that if he was not there, then these things would get loose and, you know, run ramshackle.
Then it would be hijinks.
Hijinks.
Demonic hijinks.
Hellish hijinks.
I'm trying to think if Scooby-Doo and gang ever really fought off any, like, demons from hell.
They never really fought real monsters.
The best was the rock and roll demon, though. You know, like the... You know, the one
it's
that,
only
like,
that
looked like the Kiss monster?
Yeah, see, it's only in the recent, like, the made-for-Cartoon Network movies.
Yeah, had they been actual, like, real...
That was, like, the novelty, like Zombie Island. They were fighting,
actual zombies.
Because they were always fake, but Spooky Space Kook is by far the coolest.
Oh, Space Kook is cool.
And the Gator Ghoul, the one in the swamp.
What about the race car driver?
10,000-volt ghost?
My Spooky Space Kook and the Gator Ghoul.
Yeah, those Spooky Space Kooks.
My favorite was
the Spooky Space Kook with the helmet, with the skull.
Yeah.
Like, that would be
and
the
that cool spaceship.
Ever.
I love that. That's
my favorite was the mummy because it's the coin.
Coin.
That's, the first season's all the really good ones.
Right.
The caveman frozen in ice.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really great. No doubt. The actual first season of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? When it was called Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? That's the best.
Right. Yeah, I highly agree.
Beyond that, it
But
was,
then they never really had to fight off, like, hell dimension demons or anything like that. Buffy did. Buffy fought off quite a few, like, you know.
Well, she had the hell mouth.
And, yeah, you know.
But then they had to keep upping the ante, so to speak, every season.
Oh, like sure. Well, they had the high school got destroyed by the giant snake that was the teacher. Or no, he was the mayor.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure our high school had a hellmouth.
You know, the funny thing that I was watching...
Right under the cafeteria.
Yeah.
I was watching, like, online, actually. Watching, like, the first season. And I kept trying to figure out when, that first season when they have the vampire who's underground and they have to do the harvesting or whatever. It's the Maestro from Seinfeld.
Yes.
Or Maestro, not the Maestro.
Yes, it is.
Is it really?
Yep.
That's funny.
And then one of the guys is obviously that really big guy who was in everything. His first big break was China Beach, where he played I think it was a Lerp or a Green Beret.
Who, Patrick Warburton? Putty?
No. The big guy who's like... He's the main bad giant vampire in that few episodes of Buffy.
That I can't remember.
And he was like the Green Beret.
I remember the guy who plays the Master... Who you're talking about?
And he was on X-Files, and he's the big guy with the gigantic jaw.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He's the one the guy that played one of the alien dudes with the spike.
Yeah, from the X-Files.
You know, they had to get him in the back of the neck on the X-Files. Remember that dude with the giant face? He's got like a big. Big head. Oh, I know there's people out there going, okay. Oh, I know exactly who that is.
I didn't watch much X-Files, actually.
But there's also like those that try to keep this from happening to the rest of us in the spirit world.
Like the Pope.
Yeah, like the Pope.
And Jack Burton.
Jack Burton.
And Uncle Egg.
And Uncle Egg. But there's like Doctor Strange. And Doctor Strange tries to keep, like, you know, hell from unleashing itself upon the earth. He fights Dormammu. You know, Dormammu's like that guy from, like, way, you know, he's like a... You know, he's the dude with the flaming head, you know, from Marvel Comics. Yeah. He's like, his head's on fire.
Flaming heads are never good.
Yeah. And, like, you know, all you see is, like, eyes and a mouth and a big ball of flame for a head.
Is it like the Heat Miser?
Yeah, kind of like that. And, But, he fights him off. And then there's his parody counterpart in the Venture Brothers. What's the guy that's renting the apartment from Dr. Venture?
Dr. Orpheus.
Dr. Orpheus.
Dr. Byron Orpheus?
Yeah. His totally hot, like, goth chick daughter.
Yeah. Yes. But that, yeah. You know, he's...
When Hank's like, I'll see you in heck!
That sort of good wizard sort of necromancer.
Right.
Necromancer with a heart of gold.
Well, they have the team that like that they have together that they fight. There's him and Jefferson Twilight, Blackula.
Oh, Hunter, and the Alchemist.
And the Alchemist.
The Order of the Triad.
Yeah, the Order of the Triad.
Jefferson Midnight.
That's Jefferson Twilight.
Is it?
Jefferson Twilight, Blackula Hunter. And he goes, "Can you kill a Dracula? I don't hunt Draculas." You want Black Draculas? No, they're Blackulas.
And the Alchemist, yeah.
Yeah. And the Alchemist, right, yeah. Who's voiced by the same guy who does Master Shake on Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Aqua Teen Hunger Force has unleashed Hell on Earth before, too. They had, like...
It wasn't Hell on Earth. It was that Norwegian lake troll or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Metalocalypse.
Of course, yeah.
The Finnish. Mr. Krakish.
Mr. Krakish was coming, yeah.
Yeah. That's a popular theme.
Of
you don't get much more dramatic, I guess, as themes go.
Than
Hell on Earth.
I mean,
what an apocalypse to have, you know, of all the demons, you know, coming up at once and just start unleashing chaos. And I mean, it's a totally different apocalypse than like nuclear apocalypse, or you know, disease or
oh, yeah.
or any of that or yeah. zombies. It's like full blown, like big winged demons, like with, you know, you're like, oh my God.
You know, if you get the, you know,
what do you do at that point?
Though, like I said, with like the, you know, lakes of fire, lakes of blood, everything's burning and spewing and smoking and
yeah,
it smells like farts.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever see the movie, the one stuff. With the seventh sign with Demi Moore and Jürgen Prochnow, where he plays kind of a Jesus Christ like guy and. And I think he's supposed to be Jesus, isn't he? Or
it's alluded to that he is.
Yeah, because they show him kind of like being crucified at one point, and like he breaks open all the seals, and things start happening, like, you know, blood, like the rivers turn to blood or something like that. And
one of the, yeah, it's one of the lakes, and then oh man, it's been a while.
And then like rain. What's all the seven signs, anyways? It rains fish.
It's not seven signs, or seven seals.
Yeah, but each one of them unleashes like a certain thing.
I know the seventh one is the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Or those are the last ones, maybe.
It's like a, you know, it's like a deal at McDonald's. You know, like every week there's a different prize in the Happy Meal.
Hmm.
This week there's locusts. Awesome.
I don't know what they all are. I read it years ago, but
yeah, I don't know either. I mean, we do this every time we do a show about religion. We're like, I don't know. If I go into a church, I'll burst into flames. Like, I did go to a Catholic church over the week of Christmas, and I did not burst into flames. But I summarily was not allowed to get to. Received the communion either. I wanted to.
See, if you had tried, a force field would have popped up. Prevented
well, I was told that I said, man, I want to go get communion. And the person I was with was saying, no, you can't. And I was like, well, why not? How are they going to know? And she was basically saying, well, it's a matter of like, you know, you shouldn't. And I was like, so I can.
Plus, you don't.
They're not going to, like, if I don't give them, like, the secret handshake.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You don't have the right ring. You have to show them your decoder ring, your Catholic decoder ring.
My Catholic decoder ring.
I say the cleric would have turned you.
Mine. Yeah, that's right.
He would have pulled out his mace and smote you.
Well, we had, like, snacks in the car. On the way
communion's from, not a snack.
But you were still hungry and you wanted some crackers?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Crackers and grape juice?
We had some easy cheese, right? And I was thinking how, like, it would be very funny, although probably not to my host and her mother. And, you know...
Because they're believers?
Well, let's just say they're good Catholics. Okay, so...
then they're practicing.
And I shouldn't have, you know... But if I'd have brought the easy cheese in with me and then they'd have, you know, given me, you know, communion and I'd have,
you know, given you a Jesus cracker?
Put cheese on it and then ate it. Then.
Jesus with cheese?
I don't think that would be necessarily, like, blasphemous, though.
Mmm, this is good Jesus.
But it needs cheese.
Cheese. But yeah, I don't think they would have liked it much, and I think I would have caused like a problem. And it's around Christmas time. I don't think, if I haven't already like secured my place in hell, that probably would have done it.
Well, that's what I say. Like if the, you know, if and when hell on earth occurs, I hope it's not that overtly Christian concept of hell on earth, because I will actively fight it, but I don't want to have to team up with those people.
Sure. You're going to feel like a dick having to go, oh, man, Pat Robertson was right.
I don't want to have to team up with those kind of people.
We're going to get, like, you get your black Kevlar vest, and you get, like, a Fritz helmet with a black cover, and you put big white crosses on each one.
Oh, that's the best.
Ready.
And then you just have your scapulas. And
scapulas?
I
explain what a scapula is.
It's a. It's kind of a. Basically, what it's like a little necklace with like a little card on it. You know what holy cards are?
Yeah.
It's kind of like two holy cards that you wear around your neck.
I know for a fact why I'm going to hell, as a matter of fact. Once I was preparing for a party. It was a New Year's Eve party. And I went to the Tonini store, which is a religious store that sells all sorts of religious items. And I was in there buying the cards of which you speak. And they were all over. They have pictures of the saints and like the hand with like the stigmata with the little saints standing on each one of the fingers. It's, you know, all the icons and stuff like that. And, you know, but there are some smoking hot chicks from like Catholic schools that work at like the religious store that I was going to, and I was hanging out extra long to like.
You were having impure thoughts about them?
I was having impure thoughts about like.
You wanted to corrupt them,
high
didn't
school
you?
Catholic girls working in a religious store. You wanted while I was buying religious items for my voodoo ritual.
You wanted
altar.
To corrupt. You wanted to corrupt their souls.
Yeah,
didn't
I am.
You?
Totally, yes, in a very bad way. But yes, I mean, you wanted to have impure thoughts.
You wanted to bend them over and corrupt their souls repeatedly.
Wow, that's
didn't you?
My friend NJ was thinking about getting a car wash from the local, one of the local all-girl Catholic high schools that was having a car wash. You know, standing up on the side of the road, wearing next to nothing, or holding up signs, you know, for car washes, and he was going to turn around and go get it, and he wound up like his car broke down on him. So he thinks God was actively punishing him.
The Lord works in mysterious ways, doesn't it?
But yeah. I'm pretty sure that's, you know, that's a scenario I'm going to have to answer to. They're going to go, hey, remember that time you bought all those cards for your voodoo altar and you were in the store checking out the high school girls? Yeah, you're pretty much going to hell.
When you get hit by a lightning bolt.
Yep.
No, that's Zeus.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been, yeah. I mean, if that's the worst they got, I'd take lightning. I just don't want to be ripped apart and my entrails eaten in front of me by, like, winged demons. Not really big into that.
Repeatedly? Over and over and over?
I want
hell have on your Earth. Eyes plucked out.
I really want hell on Earth if it's around to look like a Dio cover. Like the cover of a Dio album. More than anything else. You know, that big, like, horned demon given, like, the evil eye. And
Ronnie on a throne floating in the sky.
Yes.
Yeah, what if Hell on Earth was like an Ozfest?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that, I don't know.
With, like, Slayer playing really loud in the atmosphere, and you're like, holy shit. This is the greatest thing ever. The sky is blood red and that. Slayer. Like.
I was going to say, that's not hell. That's
wow. You're going to come outside, you're going to be like, holy man, this is the best thing I've ever seen. And then, like, winged demons flying all around. You're going to be like,
as long as you're not
what if they were just rocking out, though?
I know. I mean, but yeah. I mean, I would hope, like, something like War Ensemble would be the soundtrack to, like, Hell on Earth.
As long as it's not.
You know, when it's starting, and you're like, oh my God.
It's as long as like there aren't entrails and eyeballs. You know, for eternity.
Heavy metal has really outlined this very well as to what, you know, Hell on Earth is probably going to, if it ever were to happen, what it's going to be like. And those are the guys you want to hook up with. You don't want to hook up with the Pat Robertsons of this world, because they're the first ones to go, in my opinion. They're probably going to get, you know, like, picked off really fast. I mean, I just cannot see those guys, the Pat Robertsons and the, you know, the Jerry Falwells of this world being like, you know, the front line defense against evil.
Because those guys, they've been relying on God and Jesus all their lives to do everything for them.
Right.
And that's their whole thing about everything, you know. You just give in and let God and Jesus take care of it all.
The front line is going to be a bunch of Jesuit priests.
But when the Vatican
sacred dagger.
I say when the Vatican unleashes the storm Jesuits.
The storm Jesuits.
That's the shock troops to fight off.
Right.
When the storm Jesuits get deployed.
Oh boy.
That's gonna then when the black helicopters come over. That's the real black helicopters for you.
Full of long road Jesuit commandos.
Yep.
There's oddly enough, there's it's semi legendary. You know, one of those like ancient books. Not ancient, but like really old books that are supposed to exist, that whether or not they're a story or whatever, but there was supposedly a manual for Jesuits and like fighting, and that's where the term cloak and dagger comes from.
Really?
Yeah.
For the cloaks?
Because it was a martial art where they would, you know, like distract you with their cloaks and whatever. Because they still do wear, you've seen a modern Jesuit, they still wear the long frocks, but they used to wear really, really big ones.
So they would flip it around, and you'd be like, whoa, giant cloak, and then your dagger.
The Friends of Jesus is the technical name of the order.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Yep.
Well, I hope that they would stave off any...
They're the ones.
Well, the Dominicans, too.
I'm just hoping Defense of the Dark Arts teacher is...
Isn't
able to, you know, like
isn't empower an, isn't an incompetent or a werewolf?
Yeah, right.
Because that won't be at all good.
So I guess that we've come to the conclusion of the show. And what have we learned? What have we learned, folks?
Don't build a house on an Indian burial ground.
With the gate to hell, and where are you going to put the
and if you
don't
do,
read the liner notes from Heavy Metal
and
albums.
If you do, don't dig a hole in the backyard to put an in-ground swimming pool in.
Sacrificing
Listen to Heavy Metal, but never read the liner notes.
Or don't actually do anything the liner notes tell you to do.
Don't speak them out loud while listening to it. While
playing it backwards.
While playing it backwards and burning candles in a hole in your backyard.
Black candles. You're okay
black
with,
candles.
Like, you know...
Okay.
Regular
it's a good idea to know at least one, preferably two old Chinese guys, because they're probably wizards.
Right. Like Mako?
Or Uncle Egg. Yeah. Ronnie James Dio is a wizard.
Yes. You should always have a Dio album handy, just as a audio reference of how to deal with like,
exactly.
any... psychic anomaly.
Sure. You don't... We haven't confirmed that you can... physically combat beings from hell, but give it a try. So a shotgun and, you know, a sword or an ice axe can't hurt.
Yeah, just get it blessed. I mean, when in doubt, bless
your
weapon.
If you're gonna be tormented for eternity, go down fighting.
Yeah.
Wasn't cold iron supposed to like kill demons too?
Silver.
Silver's werewolves.
Yeah, but, I mean, come
Silver's
on.
Bad for vampires, too.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't that, like, that whole thing? I don't even know what cold iron was.
I don't know what
cost.
I
don't
say,
know
I don't
what a silver
what...
sword would cost, but I can
say,
imagine
I don't know, but I've heard that, too, about iron, but I don't know what it
choice.
Is.
It would be really brittle, too.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I read that if you wanted to make silver bullets, like, the best method would be to machine them. Like, to pour them in a mold probably wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't get an accurate caliber for the bullet. It would be better.
Because when it cooled, it would probably contract. They'd be undersized.
Right.
Probably to get it to bore, you'd need to cast it oversized and then machine it down, I would think. That's just a guess, but...
So I don't think you can Lone Ranger it and go out and like, why did the Lone Ranger use silver bullets anyway?
Because the late 19th century was full of vampires. They were fucking everywhere out west.
So, like, Lone Ranger had to hunt down some vampires and shit?
He and Tonto were shooting vampires all the time.
That would be the best, like, story ever. Lone Ranger versus, like, vampire hordes.
We need more stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Speaking of crossovers in fiction, I have one. I have this book. I haven't read it, and I just refound it because I moved something on my shelf, and it was behind something else. But it's, I can't remember what it's called, but it's H.P. Lovecraft stories, you know, that whole theme, written along the lines of the protagonist is Sherlock Holmes.
Huh.
It's like, what was Baker Street? Was where he lived.
So, like, he's fighting off, like, Cthulhu and stuff?
I guess.
I bet the Lone Ranger had the silver bullets for lycanthropes, because, you know, all Indians are shapeshifters.
True.
Like skinwalkers is what they call
like
them.
Like the Jews.
True.
No, the
Jews. Boy, I bet that people really think we hate Jews on this show. The way we talk.
They just wear yarmulkes to hide their horns.
I hope people get our sense of humor.
And they get their fangs filed down. So
I mean, they're probably like, oh my god, these guys are...
They can tuck their tail in. The yarmulke hides their horns, and they get their fangs filed down. As long as they shave every day, no one notices all the strange, long, hairy faces they have. So.
Oh.
They can file down their claws. They can, if they work hard enough, they can blend in with normal people.
Oh, yep.
True. So in a nutshell, when hell on earth comes, you're probably screwed unless you know an old Chinese wizard.
Yep.
Or you're a Jesuit.
Or you live next door to Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah. So, you know, keep Ronnie James Dio as your MySpace friend. Message the hell out of him when, like, the day comes. When
wonder who Ronnie James Dio neighbor actually is.
Neighbor of the Beast?
That's apartment 668.
Yeah. 668. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he live in a castle?
He should. If he doesn't, I'll be like...
A very small castle?
No, he lives in a big castle. It just makes him look small.
He lives on, like, one of the locks in Scotland. Well, he has to.
I'm sure he has a castle.
He doesn't have, like, an apartment in L.A., because I'm just going to be pissed if he does.
Dude, Dio lives in a fucking castle.
He could live in a cave.
Live the goth
in the side of a mountain.
I am going to be...
He lives in a hole in the ground...
It's not a nasty, dirty one hole.
It's not a dry, sandy hole.
It's a hobbit hole, and that means comfort.
I knew you would. I knew you knew where I was going with that. Anyway.
Oh, man.
That's all I got.
Oh, we brought it up before, but...
Oh, let me tell you, Busty Cops 2 is not nearly the romp that...
No, it's really disappointing.
Co-Ed Confidentials
was, yeah.
I can't wait till next week's action-packed episode of Co-Ed Confidential.
Hey, we learned about Lincoln Logan, too.
I didn't learn.
No. But
I just saw.
I learned about
it. Oh, you learned about it. I taught. I spread the word.
Derek taught me about Lincoln Logan. I don't know if I like the sound of that.
I didn't realize that was an obscure term.
I'd never heard it before.
Like I said, I don't know what they call it.
Clam bumping. And
making love.
making love? No, that's not making love, man.
Clit rubbing.
Oh, good.
Those are, I would say, preternatural breasts.
Oh, yeah. Preternatural.
Those are... Yeah.
Yeah, the Busty Cops 2 boobs are not as busty or...
Well, they're busty, but they're...
They're busty, but they're all plastic.
Yeah. One of the nipples is higher than the other one on this.
Was she in a car wreck or what?
I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway.
From Destructomundo, this has been James.
And Adam.
And me.
Yep. And so your prayers.
And those. Ooh.
Listen to Dio.
Yep. Whoa, yeah. Lincoln Logan. All right. Good night.